Hey, KU fans, welcome back to another episode of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, and I'm joined by Benton Smith. And Benton, we are here to talk about Action Jackson.
Who's this now?
Action Jackson.
Wait, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Well, his birth name is Joshua,
oh,
I believe.
Oh, okay, Josh and Jackson.
His mother is Apples. Apples to
that
Apples.
That's a great name.
Apples to Oranges. You know, let's get right into that, because I think the best possible sign for KU basketball is when there's a mother in tow with a weird name. Think about Angel Morris. Things were good during the Morris era. Think about Apples now. I'm sure there's at least two or three others that aren't coming to mind right now.
I feel like Angel is a more typical name than Apples.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Angel Goodrich.
Oh, Keegan's favorite. Good call. All right. No, yeah, Apples is clearly a crazy name, but she seems like a fantastic person. Everything I've read and heard about her, she seems very, very cool. Will more likely be one of those moms that people want to have around and are glad. I don't know if she's moving to Lawrence or not, but good odds, I would say. That kind of happens. So either way, good odds that she's somebody you want to have around. And obviously for KU fans, she's near the top of their list right now because she helped steer her son to Kansas.
She liked the idea of Josh Jackson, apparently known as Action Jackson,
correct,
playing at Kansas.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it on a bunch of different levels. Obviously a big day, Monday around 7:33, I think it was.
By the way, super quick shout out to Josh Jackson's girlfriend for tweeting out that the decision would come at 7:30.
Proud of her.
So I didn't have to just sit by my computer all day waiting, wondering what time will he actually tweet this.
Which, let's be honest, that's what you did anyway.
No, I actually got to leave the house.
What?
It was amazing.
All right, fair enough. Well,
big
yeah.
ups.
No, that was huge. That was a huge tip, if you will. And if you believed it, that was even a little scarier because you have to be skeptical. So you got lucky is what I'm trying to tell you.
Hey, Josh Jackson retweeted her tweet.
Wow. This is big.
Doesn't get more official than
big
that.
Big time. That's like Facebook official for a relationship. that was good to know for sure. I really expected it to be more like noon or 3, you know, so
yeah.
The 7:30, especially with no press conference, no television thing,
right.
There, you know, it wasn't like it was a big publicity stunt necessarily.
Exactly.
I mean, what did he get out of people waiting and refreshing his Twitter page? There's nothing, you know, and it wasn't like he needed a bunch of followers or anything like that. He already had a fair number of followers. So it must have been truly a situation where just wanted to make sure family members were all in the loop and heard from him first. Maybe people got off work 5, 6 o'clock, something like that. And he just really wanted to fill them in before they found out on Twitter and that kind of thing. So
yeah,
kind of a cool story.
Just in reading Gary's updates over the past few days, I wonder too if like it sounded like he had returned to Michigan to meet with his family and then was going back to California where he attends high school. So I wonder if, you know, part of Monday was just traveling and then, you know, maybe calling up Tom Izzo and Sean Miller and saying, hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to KU.
Right. But Bill Self wins again. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, obviously Curtis Townsend played a role in this. Obviously Apples played a role in this. Obviously a bunch of people at Kansas, including some of the current players, I would imagine, when he was visiting and things like that. A lot of people get a lot of credit for this, but ultimately it's Bill Self's triumph, and he did it again. You wrote a blog about the one-and-done thing, and a lot of people are talking and have talked about, hey, Bill Self just doesn't do well with these one-and-done guys. Well, your blog pointed out a great theory or a great point, I guess. There's been almost a special circumstance with every one of these guys that hasn't, quote-unquote, panned out for Bill Self. It's not like he forgets how to coach. It's not like they don't listen to him. It's not like they don't fit college basketball. These guys are all really talented, really good athletes. So it's just been a stretch of bad luck for the most part, except for Wiggins. I mean, you can't say anything other than Wiggins was really good, but go ahead and get into your point a little more.
But my thing with Wiggins is everybody talks about how, you know, how poorly KU did in his 1 year there. And because everybody has that lasting memory of that Stanford game. And he didn't play well. And KU didn't play well. But Joel Embiid is like a generational type talent who wasn't available because of an injury. If he's playing, that team might have gone to the Final Four. We don't really know. It definitely would have beat Stanford.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Stanford did a really nice job of like bothering KU's bigs in that game with their length. You know, I remember Perry Ellis and Jamari Traylor missing a lot of inside shots.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have Joel Embiid, you don't have those issues.
Exactly.
And it was a close game. And
well, and on the other end, too. I mean, absolutely, Embiid, Stanford got a lot of things inside.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have happened. Exactly. No question about it. So, yeah, you're absolutely right that is kind of a factor, or a huge factor, not kind of a factor. It's a huge factor. And you know, for every one of those guys like a Josh Selby or even a Diallo now, there is someone like Embiid who turned out to be a one-and-done guy. No one expected that.
Right.
Or even a Ben McLemore. I know a lot of people don't count on him.
He wasn't expected to be a one-and-done either.
Yeah, and people, a lot of people don't count it because he was here for that year where he was ineligible.
Yeah.
But I still think of one and done as a guy who plays 1 year and then leaves.
Yep.
And that's what McLemore did, and he wasn't expected either. So for every Selby, there's a McLemore or an Embiid that kind of goes the other way, and I think too much is made of Bill Self's quote-unquote failure to work with these one and done.
Right, and this isn't going to happen with Josh Jackson, but a lot of people thought when Selden came here, he was going to be a one and done.
Right.
People thought Brandon Rush was going to be a one and done.
Sometimes it works the other way. Right, good point. So, yeah, I think your point, beyond what you just said in that blog, is that Bill Self needs to keep going after these guys. And I don't think Bill Self needed you or me or anyone else to tell him that.
No, he didn't.
He's not stupid.
Yeah.
He is absolutely going to go after these guys, because when the top-ranked player in the country any given year says, I kind of like Kansas, you don't say, hey, thanks, but no thanks.
We only want guys who will be here 3 years.
No, you don't do that. You can't do that for two reasons. One, they're obviously very talented, and you need all the talent you can get to survive in college basketball. Two, let's say you did that. Let's say they said, Josh Jackson, you know, we're not interested. Go ahead, go to Michigan State.
Right.
And then that next year in the Elite Eight or the Final Four, you play Michigan State, and Josh Jackson lights you up. You're not going to do that. You know, your fans would never get over it, and it just wouldn't be something that would be advisable. So he is going to keep going after these guys, and whether he figures out the magic formula or not, it doesn't really matter, because it's each case is individually different. And I think that's the bigger thing. You know, it's just a simple fact of each one of these guys is different. And so there is no blueprint on how to coach one and dones. Maybe Calipari has it a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think that he's exactly been the best of the best in that regard. He does not hide his desire or his willingness to say, hey, I'm here to get you to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And he does not hide his willingness to compromise and sacrifice some of his own philosophies and stubbornness, if you will, for the opportunity to get that kid to the NBA and therefore to get that door open for more guys to come like that after them. So he goes that route.
Right.
Self goes the other route, which is you come to Kansas, you're going to have to play Bill Self basketball, and if you don't, you're going to sit. Cliff.
Yeah.
Check
Kelly
these
Oubre.
Guys. Yeah, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Selby, same thing. Like, if you don't fit into how Bill Self wants to play, you don't play. And that's, in the long run, I think that helps these guys way more than just this red carpet treatment like Calipari gives them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even knocking Calipari. I think that if that's his philosophy, he's proven it can work. And you know, to each his own. But that's not going to happen here.
The other thing about going after these, like, really high-level guys, these guys that are ranked, you know, number one in the class and you know are going to be lottery picks after 1 year at KU, is that, you know, does Josh Jackson come to KU if Self didn't get Andrew Wiggins? Maybe not.
Right.
You know, Andrew Wiggins is a commodity that young basketball players know. They, you know, they want to be the next Andrew Wiggins. So, you know, if you get Andrew Wiggins, then you get Josh Jackson. Maybe next year, the following year, you end up getting another guy that's a phenomenal talent.
There's no question that trickle-down effect is big, and I think it definitely works in KU's favor. And you're right. I mean, it's funny because I still think a lot of these guys in this process, you get so involved in your recruitment, and your head gets so filled and full of different thoughts and people telling you this and people telling you that, and you weighing the pros and cons and all these things. And I think a lot of these prospects do look at it like, well, Bill Self got Wiggins to the NBA. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins was headed to the NBA if he went to Haskell here in Lawrence. You know, he was headed there. But it works for Bill Self and for Kansas that's still sort of a stigma. People believe that. And you know, he gets credit for it for sure, because it did happen that way. I mean, an enormous amount of lottery picks here in the last decade or so whether you're talking Thomas Robinson, the Morris twins, McLemore, you know, the list goes on, Aldrich, Xavier, Wiggins. I mean, it just goes on. And so that matters. And not all those guys were one and dones, but you're right. That's a huge, huge factor in that. And I don't think there's any doubt that Bill Self's going to continue to be in. He's already in on, yeah, on a 2017 guy, which is your guy that you covered at Free State High, Ayton.
Yeah, that guy is a beast.
Is DeAndre, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he, I mean, he's on some lists already rated as the number one guy in his class,
he
correct?
He was massive. Okay. And I mean, like, he, you know, I think I've heard some people kind of talk about Udoka Azubuki, mm-hmm, as a Shaq type guy. Mm-hmm. Just because of his mass,
right,
and his, you know,
well, his style too. He tries, yeah, to dunk everything, yeah, exactly, and rip the board down and all that.
I mean,
that.
I'm not saying that Ayton is the next Shaq, but I mean, that guy just, he's so humongous and he's so athletic. It's just that freakish combination. He reminded me more of Shaq than almost anybody I've seen.
Wow.
And I'm not saying he will be Shaq.
No.
But when you see somebody of that size just so effortlessly just run up and down the floor,
sure,
and, you know, tear down the rim basically,
sure, sure,
every time he goes up to dunk, that's impressive to see. And he talked about when he was at Free State this year, he cited Joel Embiid as a reason that he was interested in KU. Those type of things, those help Self year in and year out.
And years down the road.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you never know when that one guy that you had that, I mean, a McLemore guy too, you know, he obviously hasn't had a great run in the NBA yet, mm-hmm, but I think a lot of that might be the Sacramento factor more than it is
might
Ben McLemore.
Train wreck of a franchise,
yeah,
he plays for.
Just saying.
Maybe.
But you know, I mean, even a guy like that is somebody you guys could look back on, and you never know. The next big prospect could be from St. Louis, and that could make him relate more to McLemore, and he,
yeah,
could think, okay, well, it worked for him, I'll go do it. You know, so yeah, it's here to stay, period. And Bill Self obviously has now proven that outside of Calipari, there's no one better at getting these guys. Doing something with them, that's a crapshoot. It's
right,
a roll of the dice every time. And it's interesting because it's easy to look back. Hindsight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What could someone else have done with Shaq Diallo?
Right.
What could someone else have done, even with an Andrew Wiggins, who averaged 17 points and 6 boards or something here? Could somebody else have got him to average 25? Probably so. You know, that's just Kansas basketball and different styles and different coaching philosophies. But you do look at those things and you have to kind of keep all of those things in mind when you're looking at this phenomenon that's really no longer a phenomenon. It's just reality now.
Yes.
Let's talk about Jackson, though, specifically. I know you've seen him a little bit, so if I highlight, mm-hmm, films, McDonald's game, that kind of stuff. I didn't get to watch the Nike game, the Summit game over the weekend,
right,
nor did you. We were at KU football the spring game.
Yep.
And I think we saw some things there.
Yeah,
but we didn't see
happened.
Josh Jackson.
No, he wasn't there.
So I know Gary was watching that. Gary Bedore, yeah, was watching that with intent eyes. But let's just talk about his game. What's the thing that jumps out to you, number one, when you look at him and watch these highlight films and stuff?
Athleticism and energy.
Sure.
I think it's one thing to be, you know, freakishly athletic. A lot of guys have that kind of, you know, insane jumping ability,
right,
and, you know, can finish with strength in a dunk contest. But if you also have that kind of approach to your game where you're always playing with high energy, that really makes you a special type talent. And that's a type of thing that I keep reading about that impresses me the most. I think maybe Fran Fraschilla tweeted something.
Yeah.
you knew where I was going. About him having a Kevin Garnett type motor.
Yeah.
I mean, whoa.
Yeah.
That's one of the all-time intense guys, like insanely intense approach to the game.
Well, and Kevin Garnett's
40
and,
yeah,
still playing with that kind of motor, as,
yeah,
long as his old bones will let him. So
yep.
I agree. When you think back to early Garnett,
oh boy,
that's a heck of a compliment. And what's cool about it, too, is different positions, different,
yeah,
players.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's sitting there saying he's a Kobe Bryant, you,
right,
know,
yeah,
because of the position he plays. No,
yeah,
he's just looking at it purely on motor.
That's
and
probably the most interesting thing I've read so far about Jackson. I mean, for someone who sees as much basketball as Fran Fraschilla to call out KG,
yeah,
as a reference point,
yeah,
for his approach to the game, yikes. I mean, I think we're going to really enjoy watching this guy if that's the case.
I also think we're going to really enjoy covering him, and I think beyond basketball, that's the one thing that jumps out to me the most. This is a very, very mature young man. I mean, he seems,
right,
to have a really good head on his shoulders. He, you know, some of these guys, you listen to them or you interview them or you watch them even, and you think, kid. You know, I mean, even a guy like Cliff Alexander, who looked way older than he was, you kind of, when you saw him, when you heard him, when you listened to him, you thought, man, he's young, you know. Yeah. And Carlton Bragg's a great example. I mean, he looks like he's 11 years old still, you know, an 11-year-old giant, albeit. But still, I don't get that sense with Josh Jackson. I get the sense that this is a good, smart, intelligent, you know, almost worldly type of kid, you know, and he seems very mature. He seems very comfortable in his own skin. He's sure of himself, both as a person and as a player. And I think that that kind of thing not only helps his game, but I think that helps him be able to fit in with a team better. I think that helps him be able to take control at times like he'll need to. And you know, Tom Keegan in his column wrote a couple of anonymous quotes from guys that have seen him and kind of studied him. And that was the one thing they talked about, was just that killer instinct that he has. He's got that desire to really bring the competitive spirit that he has and let it burn and let it factor into his play on the floor. And everything about that just speaks maturity to me.
Right. One more thing, going back to our, I hate to take it back to earlier in the podcast, but this just came to me. When you talk about, you know, getting a one-and-done guy and that, you know, maybe in the future you're able to get someone that has a ton of hype and that type of thing, like, college basketball, since this one-and-done rule has been implemented, we haven't seen a, like, LeBron James type of player.
Right.
But one of these years, a LeBron James type of player is going to have to play college basketball. He's going to go to college,
you're right, yeah.
And if you're Bill Self and you can say, hey, I had number one pick Andrew Wiggins, I had number one pick Josh Jackson, if that turns out to be the case,
right.
You might be able to get a LeBron-type talent for 1 year. Wow.
It's funny you say that, too, because that was the chit-chat around Wiggins.
Yeah.
And it was off base a little bit. Obviously, he's well on his way to having a big-time pro career.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's the danger of throwing out a statement like that. I think people were looking past Kansas and past college. I don't think they were saying he's LeBron now or he's a big physical specimen like LeBron is, you know. So that is true. There will be somebody like that comes along even more so than Wiggins was. And you know, there's no doubt about it that Kansas got a ton out of having Andrew Wiggins on the roster. They just didn't win games in March. Mm-hmm. But with that team, I mean, you know, Mason was a freshman.
Right.
Selden was a freshman. Everybody, Embiid was a freshman.
It was freshmen and sophomores.
Without a guy like Wiggins, that team very possibly could have been the team that broke the streak.
To miss the tournament.
They would have got in. But the Big 12 streak, yeah, sorry. He's trying to throw me under the bus there. No, the Big 12 streak, though, definitely could have been in jeopardy without a guy like that, because he was their best player on offense and he was their best player on defense. You know, Embiid's obviously in the mix, too, but he didn't start from day one. And so I think that factors in. So I think obviously Jackson is a huge pickup for a number of reasons. We've gone over him already for the present, for the future, for this whole phenomenon of the one and done thing. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what I was sort of starting to say right at the end of my last comment, was that his maturity, his comfort with himself and those types of things are going to allow him to be more of a take-charge type of leader.
Right.
And I know that sounds crazy, and most people think, no, juniors and seniors are leaders, but not anymore. You know, freshmen can absolutely be leaders if they have the makeup to do so.
Right.
Most don't, but every once in a while you find that guy that does, or those few guys that do, and I think Jackson is definitely one of those. He won't have to, because Frank Mason, Devontae Graham, Landon Lucas, that's a great trio of core leaders that Kansas has and that will be playing and sort of showing him the ropes and bringing him along. But there will be games, there will be stretches where those guys are in a slump or in a funk or whatever it is, and they need somebody else to kind of take charge, sort of the way Selden did, you know, and when he was hot. And I think Jackson absolutely can be that guy with relative ease, really.
Yeah, it sounds like it from, obviously we haven't like met him in person or, you know, watched him in person yet, but everything you read about him, it sounds like he's that type of guy. And I think, like you just mentioned, who would you say is like the vocal leader of the the team that's coming back next year. At this point, I would say Devontae.
Yeah, it has probably to be. And I think you would say that today, and I think his leadership and willingness to use his voice and be that guy mm-hmm. will be exponentially higher next year. And it was this year from his freshman year. So
but he,
I think that's the easy answer for
but
sure.
But he's also a guy that wouldn't mind if someone like Jackson came in and totally also agree. Had a voice.
Totally agree.
He would help him, you know, make that voice known more than anything.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be like threatened or be like, I'm the alpha dog.
No, he
would gladly have Jackson help take on that type of role.
It's almost the perfect Bill Self roster because it's mm-hmm. a mix of incredible young talent
right.
with talented veterans. And I think more than the five freshmen like Calipari has or the platoon system that he has or even this veterans team that he had that Self had this year, I think his preferred team, preferred makeup of his roster is exactly that.
Yeah.
So really young, and I think he said that. I don't think I'm breaking any news here.
I think
he said you want veterans that are kind of your core guys, and then you want some your best players to be your youngest guys, and then they mesh, and you've got a nice thing. So again, with Lucas, Landon Lucas, with Devontae Graham, and with Frank Mason, that trio of hungry veteran leaders will be every bit what they had this year with Seldon and Perry Ellis and those guys. And I think you combine that with Azubuike.
Yeah.
You combine that with obviously with Jackson. So your starting lineup probably looks like this, and it may be way too early to do this, but I think it's pretty obvious. I really don't think there's that much to figure out. You've got Mason and Graham with Jackson.
Yeah.
And then I think you have Bragg into the Perry Ellis spot, and then I think obviously Landon Lucas has earned that right and certainly will have the huge advantage in that department. And then your guys off the bench, your first guy is Svi on the perimeter, and your next guy is Azubuike if he can play, you know. So that's a pretty good seven already.
Yeah,
and then we're still filling out roster
spots.
Self
likes a smaller rotation too. I mean,
right.
You know, he's not crazy about playing 10 guys.
Right.
And that's what he talked about at the beginning of this past year. Was like, you know, it's hard to get all these guys minutes.
Right.
Because they kind of felt like they had 10 guys capable
exactly.
of playing some type of role. But
exactly.
He'd rather have eight.
Sure.
Max, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, no doubt. And so the guys that are sort of on the outside looking in,
yeah.
LeGerald Vick, who has some potential to maybe play, you
yeah.
know, 8-10 minutes a game. He showed some things more than I thought he would as a freshman, especially with that deep roster like you were talking about. Dwight Colby, the Ole Miss transfer,
yep.
another guy who you got to figure is going to factor in somehow.
Right.
Maybe not regularly, but spot duty, spot minutes, foul trouble type of things.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, we don't know that Azubuike is going to be ready yet.
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah.
He's like when Svi came here.
Exactly.
You know, he's 16 right now.
Crazy. Crazy. So, yeah, that's something else. And then there's still two scholarship spots available.
Yeah.
That's assuming that Svi and Bragg stay. But
yeah.
getting back to that starting lineup, Mason, Graham, Jackson, Bragg, Lucas.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Really good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, you can't say Bragg is as good as Ellis by any means.
No,
but
no.
The jump that Bragg's going to make, the expected improvement that he'll show, the freedom that he'll have to actually play his game, I don't know that there'll be a huge drop-off. It will be a drop-off. But
right.
but I think that's a great piece to plug in to replace a Perry Ellis when that's really a really difficult thing to do looking on the outside, you know.
Yeah.
So and then of course Jackson replacing Seldon, that's not bad either. So I think you're looking at a lineup that day one starts way high, top five, top three. I don't know where they'll be ranked, but have to be up there.
For sure.
And then some depth too that's actually legitimate depth.
Mm-hmm.
With some more to be determined. Like I said, two scholarships still available. That's provided that Svi and Bragg both return. If either one of them were to leave, there'd be another one available.
Yeah.
And you know that Self is looking. You know he's always looking. you know there's some senior transfer guys that could factor in, even just for a one-year thing.
Right.
But a guy that could absolutely come in and fill a role as a rotation depth kind of piece right away in 2016-17. So the moral of the story is the beat goes on for Kansas basketball. It's just another great year waiting to happen. And you know, here we are in April, and I'm sure people are already beating down the door. Is it October yet? Is it October yet? And to those people, I say no. It's not October yet. Let us have a summer. I don't even care if you want to worry about KU football. I would love it if you do, because we're going to keep writing about it and covering it. And hopefully there'll be more there to write about this year. But I just want a summer. Can we have that?
Summer's great.
Thank you.
Let's not skip over the summer.
Thank you.
So, Josh Jackson, probably the most interesting storyline right now for 2016-17, but maybe like 1B to that.
Fair.
Is, I think, Bragg and Spee and what they've become.
Yeah.
Because both of those guys seem, you know, fully capable of taking a monster step.
Yeah.
And what type of players they are.
Well, NBA talents, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're both going to be drafted in the NBA.
Right. There you go.
In
so,
the first round.
Go one bigger. Go one bigger. Go lottery.
I don't know. I can't say lottery yet. I
this
don't know
guy,
for sure.
This guy's calling DeAndre Ayton the next Shaq. He's calling Svea an automatic lottery pick. No, he didn't say either of those things. So please don't roast him for that. That was not at all what he said. But I agree with you. I think that one of the very, very good things about Seldon and Green both leaving is it, you would think, finally gives Svea that opportunity to blossom. And not only will he have the opportunity in terms of rotation and minutes, but he'll finally be ready. You know, I mean,
yeah.
again, like you said, he was so young when he got here, and Self has said that over and over and over and over, not using it as an excuse, but more just reality. This
right.
is just a kid.
Let's not expect this guy who
right.
was, as a sophomore, is 18 years old to be, you know, NBA lottery.
Yeah,
where,
right, right. But now he should be. I mean, he's been not lottery, but
yeah.
but he should be ready.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been around this program. He's been around college basketball enough. And I think the best thing about Svea is he has shown, obviously, some really good games, but I think he's shown that he's much more than just a spot-up shooter. And until now, maybe even the second half of this season, that was kind of all he did. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
all he could do, but it was all he did. And I think now you see he can handle it. I think you see he can attack off the bounce. I think you see he can rebound. And what the beautiful thing about that is, as we mentioned with that lineup, you've got those five starters. And then if he's the first perimeter guy, and if Azubuike or Colby or whoever it is the first big, Svea could be the first perimeter guy and come in for Mason, Graham, or Jackson.
Yeah.
Whichever comes first. Foul
that's,
trouble
that's
or a breather.
Of that backcourt.
Exactly. They are interchangeable parts in a sense. You might lose a little ball handling when you put Svea out there in place of Graham or Mason, but that's where Jackson's ability to handle the ball helps you so much.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard not to get really excited about this roster and its makeup already. And again, we're in April. I mean,
yeah.
the season just ended, and you're already thinking about the potential for this next season. It's off the charts, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think you could have, if Josh Jackson hadn't come to KU, I think you could have said KU had one of the, you know, better backcourts in the nation
yeah.
heading into next year. And it just took, you know, it just reached another level of how dynamic it can be, how explosive it might be.
Now it is the best, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there's other talented groups out there, but if Jackson is any bit as good as advertised, putting him with Mason and Graham, forget it.
Yeah.
And then Svea, a guy like that, a potential lottery, a potential NBA guy, as a fourth, as just a nice little insurance policy.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal stuff, and obviously a huge day, a huge week for KU. They will have their banquet Wednesday night to celebrate the 2015-16 team, which deserves celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
Really good year. Obviously got all the way to the Elite Eight. Lost to the eventual champs. You can't hate that. Won Big 12 title 12 in a row. You can't hate that. But as is the way things go with Kansas basketball and this fan base and this crazy town, it's already time. Wednesday will be nice, but Wednesday's only 24 hours long. And then you move on completely and fully to the 16-17 season. And it should be a lot of fun. Any final thoughts on Action Jackson, Mr. Smith?
I'm just excited to see him in person.
Yeah.
You know, you can get so much out of, you know, YouTube clips and
right.
stuff you see on Twitter and vines of him dunking
right.
at the Nike Hoop Summit, stuff like that. But I'm just excited to watch what he's capable of doing and maybe more excited to see him play defense.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing that keeps getting brought up with him.
That he likes to do it.
Yeah.
Right. No, I agree. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It automatically makes those summer camp type games that we go cover out of the dog days of summer, it automatically makes those something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It'll be a packed house. I'll never forget the first one Wiggins showed up in. It was the buzz around that gym was incredible. I mean, it was, I wrote a column and I said this, it was like the Beatles were in town. And it was incredible. And I don't know if it'll be quite that with this, but I do think there will be people lined up out the door to get a view of Josh Jackson, the newest Jayhawk. So, very exciting stuff. And we'll have continued coverage of his arrival and how he fits in throughout the week here, really throughout the next 10, 12 months, because he's the show right now, and he's fitting into a really, really nice team and a lot to look forward to. So for Benton Smith, for Action Jackson, I'm Matt Tate. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Spodcasters. We'll talk to you guys very soon with more.